There was a man by the name of Jimmy Breland, who back in, this has been a while back, he was a man who drove a truck for the Jewel Tea Coffee Company. And Jewel Tea Coffee Company was door to door selling coffee and tea. And this man went to the Presbyterian, the Eastern Heights Presbyterian Church in Savannah, Georgia. Jimmy Breland had an eighth grade education, and because of that, in this Presbyterian church, they didn't feel like he was qualified to teach any of their classes. So Jimmy Breland had a real heart for boys because he was from a broken home, had a real heart for these young boys that didn't have a father. And so he started inviting these boys to church, but he realized these street kids did not fit in with the other kids. So they were complaining because they didn't fit into this. They didn't know how to act in Sunday school. They weren't dressed like the other kids. They didn't understand the manners of the other kids, and they really didn't fit in. So Jimmy said, "Well, can you give me a room and I'll teach them myself? I don't want to stop bringing them to church. Will you give me a room?" And they, "Well, we don't have any rooms. All we have is the kitchen." He said, "Then I'll take the kitchen." So Jimmy Breland took the kitchen of the Presbyterian church, and every Sunday without a church bus, he would take that coffee truck, that Jewel Tea coffee truck, and pick up boys in the neighborhoods and bring them to the Eastern Heights Presbyterian Church in Savannah, Georgia, take them to the kitchen, and he would teach them discipleship. He taught them the Lord's Prayer. He taught them the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, all by using pots and pans. And one of his classmates, he ended up teaching 25 boys crowded in this kitchen, bringing them crammed in this old coffee truck. And this is what that truck would have looked like. One of those men, of those 25 boys, was a boy that you may remember or at least recognize. His name is Elmer Towns. Elmer Towns is the co-founder of the Liberty University. He founded it with Jerry Falwell. Those are the two founders of Liberty University. He got his roots from Jimmy Breland in a coffee and tea truck sitting in the kitchen of the Presbyterian church because he did not fit in. Of those 25 boys, 19 of them went into full-time ministry, and 12 of them went on to receive their doctorate in ministry or theology. 12 of them. I mean, that is an incredible success story of somebody that said, "You're not going to make it if you don't have roots." I know you're in and you're out, but we can stop that. I can put the right things inside of you to help you to hold up during the storms of life. And those who sit in that chair, all they need is roots. The solution is roots. The problem is they can't hold on, but the solution is they need one-on-one discipleship to make it work. And then it takes us to the next chair. Now, in this chair, the Bible describes it as thorns, but it describes that the thorns are just cares of life. So listen to this one. "Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Here is a person who loves the word. They receive the word, and to no fault of their own, in some cases, the cares of life choke them. Have you ever had something happen in your life that was so debilitating or so unpredictable that it stretched every ounce of faith you had in you? Have you ever had, let me ask it this way. Is there anyone besides me in this room that has ever had too much? And yet I know the Lord says, I won't put any more on you than you can handle. How many of you ever asked him, "Lord, are you seeing this? You said no more than I can handle, and I can't handle anymore. Are you seeing this?" I know I'm not the only one. I see hands all over this room saying, God, are you seeing this? Sometimes life just overwhelms you. Somebody gets sick. Somebody loses a job. Somebody loses a car. Somebody loses a part of their body. Somebody goes blind. Someone goes deaf. Someone has heart issues. Somebody gets that doctor's statement you never want to get. And the cares of life just start overwhelming you to the point that it's, I love the Lord. And I have seed in me. I have root in me. But something has happened in my life that I just need help. If somebody doesn't help me, I'm not going to make it. If somebody doesn't push me, I'm not going to make it. I love the Lord, but I need a push. I need a hand. I need somebody to love on me and help me and strengthen me. And if they don't, I don't know if I'm going to make it. The cares of life. He even lists some of those cares of life. Notice he doesn't say riches ruined them. He said the deceitfulness of that ruined them. That probably means their money got stolen from them. That could mean they got so rich that they just put their eyes on money, or it could mean that they got deceived by something and then it was taken from them, and the fact that their money is gone, they find themselves here. Or the things of this world. Notice he says this. He says that the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Have you ever had the pull of the world on you, thinking that was the answer, only to realize that once you got there, it had no answers at all? It was actually the problem. And you find yourself in a place where you say, God, I want to grow. I want to be everything I can be for you, but I'm overwhelmed. I am just exhausted. Lord, I have tried so hard. I love the word, but I need somebody who can help me. Because here's the problem. After a while, they start choking. And that's the problem. I love the word, but I can't breathe. I love church, but I just can't even catch my breath. I am choking now. We were sitting at our table one night, and our little granddaughters were sitting around the table. At that time, our little granddaughter was about 3 years old, and I can't remember what she put in her mouth, but she was choking. And everyone at the table just began to panic. It scared every one of us because this baby couldn't breathe. And it was obvious. Her face was turning colors, and she couldn't get any air in or any air out. And I didn't want to stick my finger in there because you could lodge it or push it further. I wasn't sure what to do. I thought she's a little girl. She's a three-year-old little girl. I can't do the Heimlich. I didn't know what to do. So I did the only thing that I knew to do. I picked her up from the booster chair, and I turned her upside down, and I held her by her legs, and I gently shook her, and it fell out. And then she screamed bloody murder, and we knew then she could breathe, because the sound we heard after that would let us know that she was getting plenty of air. We didn't care about the cry, but I've thought so many times, if I had not have done that, this story could be told a completely different way. Because there's a lot of people that love the Lord, but they get to a place in their life that they just can't breathe anymore. Lord, it's taken all my joy. I'm praying, God, but it feels like it's going nowhere. I'm trying to worship my way through it. I'm using my worship as my weapon. But Lord, I'm just about out of dancing power. I'm just about out of joy. I'm just about out of peace. And the problem with the thorns is that the person is choking and they need air.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
There's a place called Boys Town, Nebraska. It's in Omaha, Nebraska. And in Boys Town, there is a statue on the outside with a saying that goes back to a story that happened in 1918. Boys Town was opened in 1917 by a man that is known by Father Flanagan, and it was called Father Flanagan's Home for Boys. And he purchased this big piece of property, this big house, because all these boys were being abandoned and they were on the streets and they had nowhere to go. And he saw these boys getting into trouble because their parents had left them or they died. And there was all kinds of circumstances. So he bought this big house and brought all these boys to the house that had no place to live. The next year after he started this, a boy by the name of Howard Loomis came into their property. Now, Howard was different from the other boys because he was a polio victim. And Howard's mother had abandoned him because she did not feel like she could take care of a polio child. So when Howard came to them, he could not walk. He was left there on the steps, and they brought Howard in and got him some metal braces. Now, if you know anything about the early 1900s, these were braces that would not bend. They were straight metal legs, and he had to walk like this if he could walk at all. But the problem with Howard walking is that this building was several stories tall, and to get to his room and to get to the classrooms, he had to get up the stairs. And he couldn't get up the stairs because it took him forever to get up the stairs. So after a while, the bigger boys, the older boys, would pick Howard up and carry him up the stairs. They would put Howard on their back, and they would carry him all the way to classes. And Father Flanagan began to notice that these older boys gladly picked up Howard and took him to class. So one day, he asked one of the older boys by the name of Reuben Granger. He said, "Reuben," he said, "isn't it hard picking up Howard every day and taking him to class?" And Reuben looked up to him and he says, "Oh, Father, he ain't heavy. He's my brother." And that became the motto of this Boys Town. If you go there today, there's the story that inspired the motto. And since 1918, the motto of Boys Town is this: "He ain't heavy. He's my brother." God is looking for a Reuben tonight. Somebody that says, "I know you got problems, but you're not heavy. You're my brother. You're not heavy, you're my sister. I know it's gonna take some time, but I love you. I know it's not gonna be easy, but I'm not gonna leave you in this mess. I know that your life is hard and I don't need to take on any more myself, but you're not heavy. You're my brother." God needs some people if we're going to win those in the thorny ground who are choking. God needs somebody with a heart big enough to say, "I'll take the hard job, God. I'll take on the tough cases, God. I'm not just gonna save myself for the easy ones, the quick testimonies, but Lord, I'll take on those cases nobody wants, and I will be there all the way to the end." Because there are people who love the word, but they're choking, and somebody has to help them breathe. And then he gets to the last one. You know what, before I get there, let me just tell you one more story. This happened over 30 years ago. Faith and I, when we were at the church formerly known as the Webster Groves Church before it became Twin Rivers back in the early days, and we were in our 20s and we were there at the Webster Groves Church that grew into Twin Rivers later. I've always had a love for Bible prophecy. And even as a young person, I was able to understand and teach a lot of Bible prophecy, even in my 20s. It's just something I've always enjoyed and loved and understood. And so we had a prophecy conference. And I brought in this guy from New Mexico that was just, he was a brilliant mind that had basically memorized the whole book of Revelation. I mean, he was an astounding guy. And we had no money in those days. He stayed at our house with us, and he was teaching this prophecy conference. It was a big deal for us in this little church at the time. And that night we had all kinds of prophecy people come out. I mean, people that never heard of us that were coming out to hear Jack speak, and they just wanted to be a part of this service. And Faith was always on the keyboard, and we had our two daughters. They're always dressed in these. She dressed them. You probably don't know what these are, but they were called Martha miniature dresses. Anybody remember those? These big old fluffy dresses. And so that's what our little girls wore to church. And so I remember Brittany and Lindsay sitting on the front row, and church was over, and all these new people that we didn't know were around. We were shaking hands, and finally, I came home, and I had locked up the church, and Faith says to me, "Where's Brittany?" I said, "What do you mean, where's Brittany?" And Brittany was four, and I said, "What do you mean, where's Brittany? I thought she came home with you." "No, I thought she was there at the church with you." All of a sudden, I absolutely panicked. I ran back. We lived right across the street from the church. I ran back to the church, turned on all the lights, and panicked. I looked through all the church and could not find her. This evangelist, Jack, was helping me find her. We were looking in closets. And then we had the scare of our life that no parent wants to think of. Where could she be? We didn't know half these people here tonight, and prophecy kind of draws a different crowd anyway. So it's like, you know, what has happened to our four-year-old little girl? And we were absolutely panicked. Right about the time we were about to call 911, the older gentleman who was standing with us said, "You know what? I remember my daughter used to hide in a certain place. Let's check one more place before we call the police." And he went in her bedroom and looked under her bed. And there in that big old pink fluffy dress, Brittany had gotten tired of Bible prophecy and got home before her mama did and her daddy did. We don't know how she got there. She had walked across that street and went and crawled under her bed and was sleeping under her bed. And that's how we found her. Probably one of the scariest moments of her whole life. But do you know why we found her? Because we were looking for her. But God has so many lost children. And the problem is, no one is looking for them. No one is looking here. No one is looking here. And no one is looking here. It's living our life waiting on Jesus to come. Stand for Jesus, let the world go by. Hiding out in our holy huddle until the trumpet sounds. And God says, "I need somebody who will let your heart be broken for the things that break my heart every day when I have lost children that no one is looking for." And then finally, the last one. The last one is the good ground. The interesting thing about this is he talks about the seed being sown on good ground and those who hear the word and they accept it and they bear fruit. But the interesting thing is he uses some strange verbiage here when he says some 30-fold, which means not everybody's 30-fold. So there's actually four categories here. There's zero, and then there's 30. Go to that next screen, if you will, guys, because I think it illustrates it a little better. So there's zero, there's 30%, 60%, and 100%. So even in the body of Christ, as hard as it is to fathom this, there are people in the body of Christ who know all the songs, who have their own personal devotion every day, and bear no fruit. What does that mean? I'm reproducing. I'm bringing someone to Christ. Bearing fruit means I'm multiplying what I have. I'm giving birth to something. That's bearing fruit. There are people in the church, as hard as it is to understand, they raise their hands in worship. They know verses that they can quote all day long, but even in the good ground, they do nothing about it. And then there's those who produce 30%. Thank the Lord for those. Those who produce 60%. Thank the Lord for those. And there are some that are giving it all they've got, and they're turning it over to 100% fold, the Lord said. These are those sitting in this nice chair over here that's nice and comfy and colorful, and they are getting all the food they need. They're the ones that sit back and say, feed me, feed me, feed me. And you feed them, feed them, feed them. And I don't mind feeding all day long if somebody gets up and does something with it.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.